I dislike time mechanics. I really do. I mean, I'm not complaining about the time travel in and of itself. I love that. As someone who loves history and was studying it, the fact that every day I can meet Alexander the Great or visit prehistoric Africa, which in the past, no pun intended, I could only read about in books, or heck, even see future history and watch the creation of the new Roman Empire, it's astonishing. I got the best gig in the world.
Doctor Who, It Ends Where It Began, by Eric C. Johnson, read by Tegan Harris.
What I dislike is when I try to think how it's actually possible. The more scientific side of how I can one day be walking in the 1500s, and the next on a human colony where we're part of a galactic empire. How I can talk to people in the past and not cause paradoxes. How I can sneeze in the future and actually cause one. How some things are in a flux and some things are fixed points. Chan does a little better than me, but every time I think about it, I get nothing but a headache. Take this, for instance. We landed on Earth in the modern day. Well, modern from my perspective, as in 2008. Campbellton's a nice little village. Nothing special, but friendly nonetheless. It's only an hour away from Bristol, my hometown. I was hoping maybe I could visit it for a few hours, but it wasn't to be. We had bigger fish to fry, so to speak. Probably the most notable thing about Campbellton was the Anno Project, a group of scientists working on a new kind of gas that could be mass-produced fairly easily and could replace fossil fuels. Now, somehow, in his near-infinite alien wisdom, our companion, the Doctor, believed that if this gas were to be made, it would have catastrophic... Don't you love that word, catastrophic? Just rolls off your tongue. Catastrophic effects on the Earth's atmosphere, endangering the population for centuries to come. Or something. I can't remember exactly what he said. The Doctor has a knack for these things. He'll barge into places, make rash statements, expect everyone to believe him even though he had no evidence to back himself up, and yet he's always right. These improbable scenarios he presents are almost always true. That's what makes what happens later in the story even more confusing. Because just when I thought I understood everything about how these things work, it got spun on its head. Just wait. So, we enter the Anno laboratory, pose as scientists, infiltrate the system, all that good stuff. While Chan dealt with personnel, I was in an expansive and wide room that was almost empty, except for a wall of fuse boxes, metal tubes coming out of the top of each of them and going into the ceiling. "Remember not to touch anything!" I heard a voice from behind me exclaim. I gasped with shock before turning around and seeing the long, curved features of the Doctor standing over me. Rolling my eyes, I told him, "Why would I start to randomly touch a fuse box?" Not quite realising what I'd said, the Doctor stammered, "Well, I don't know. I'm just saying..." He pointed at the fuse box furthest to the right. "For example, mess with that and you could be electrocuted. Or worse, blown up into little pieces. We've already got one mess on our hands. We don't have time for exploding companions." I chuckled and was about to reply, but the Doctor just went on about something else. "Listen, I'm just going to be a minute. I know one of the guys who runs this place, so I'm thinking I might be able to talk him out of it. Now remember, Alice, flip the switches to the first, third and fifth boxes, but stay clear of the last one. Be right back." As the Doctor walked out behind me, I sighed loudly and walked towards the first box, ready to start. That's when something unexpected happened. The double doors to the room flew back open, and I turned around to see the Doctor once again. "Back so soon?" I inquired. He didn't answer, but instead took a deep breath. He was going to need it. "Okay, listen, we don't have a lot of time. I'm not that Doctor. Well, I was him. I'm him from your relative future. I've travelled backwards in time to warn you. Soon, very, very soon, in fact, I will think I've figured out how to stop the gas problem. While I have good intentions, my maths are slightly wrong, and the consequences of it could be disastrous. So, whenever you hear me say reactor A, don't let me. Make sure I use reactor B. Do you understand?" I stared at him for a few moments before answering. Yeah. I might have been stretching the truth slightly. But wait, if you're from the future and you're... Oh, what was the expression I was looking for? Ah, of course. Your previous self is already here. Aren't you crossing your own timeline? Changing the future? In retrospect, I'm quite proud of how professional I sounded for knowing absolutely nothing on the subject. Yes, but this is a... I can't remember what adjective you used. Sorry. Paradox. I only know to come back and do this because you told me to. You see, when you tell me about Reactor B, I jump in and save the day, as I tend to do. And then you tell me about everything that's happening right now. Everything I'm saying, I only know to say it because you told me to. And then I get into the TARDIS and travel back, and here I am. So I'm not crossing my own timeline. I'm creating it. Sort of. I took a moment, went over all of this in my head again, making sure I remember every bit. If this had happened 2 months ago, I would have laughed him out of the room. But now, after seeing creatures like the Shars and half the stuff we've done, I was inclined to believe him. I felt like if I accepted a little bit more of this time-twisting element to the whole thing, it'd make me feel more like a, I don't know, genuine companion. Okay, I got it, yeah, I told him. Good, he replied. Now remember, Alice, Reactor B is the one you want. Reactor B. And he turned around and walked out of the room, while I was left there, gasping in shock of what just happened. When was this going to happen? Today? Tomorrow? Why Reactor A instead of Reactor B? Why does the Doctor get it wrong in the first place? All these questions and not a single answer. Why are you standing there with your jaw open? I heard a voice say, as the sound of the door shutting rang in the background. I looked up and saw the Doctor, my timeline's Doctor, standing before me. Predestination! That's what he said earlier. Predestination paradox. Sorry about that. Anyway, I replied, nothing, stumbling over my words a bit. After a few seconds he seemed to shrug this off and went to the first fuse box, noticing none of its little grey switches were flipped, raising an eyebrow. Yeah, sorry, I meant to, but I was thinking about something and I didn't think you'd be back so soon. The Doctor just shrugged and started to flip them himself. Wait, I asked. Weren't you supposed to go get a guy who works here? Wasn't in his office, he replied without looking up. I'll keep looking for him after I recalibrate a couple numbers in my head and flip these. Why don't you go check on Chand, see how he's doing? I do just that, walking down the corridors, thinking heavily about the events that just took place, and eventually find Chand at the reception desk, leaning over it and staring into the eyes of a pretty young girl behind the counter, and saying something quietly, almost whispering to make himself seem more mysterious. Chand, I said sternly. They both jumped a little at the sound of my voice. They looked up at me. Chan seemed annoyed, his eyes saying, "What is it now?" While she didn't make eye contact, and looked down at her papers, blushing slightly. She must think I'm his wife or girlfriend. Ha! Chan looked back at her, winking, though she still looked thoroughly embarrassed. Then walked over to me and sighed as loudly as he could. "Yeah?" he asked, trying to show as much of his boredom as humanely possible. Instead of replying, I grabbed his arm and took him aside to the hallway. Chand, something very weird happened. Really? Something weird happened to us? Impossible, he said mockingly. Shut up, I told him. The Doctor just visited me, but he said he was the Doctor from the future, like a couple of days from now. He told me what we're doing is a mistake and I have to stop the Doctor. Doctor, the current Doctor. What, like right now? Asked Chand. No, I replied. Whenever he says a specific phrase, I'm supposed to tell him what happened, and then I have to tell him something else, and then the day is saved and he goes back and warns me in the first place. Sorry, I'm saying all of this too fast, you're probably confused out of your mind. No, it's all right. 8 seasons of Red Dwarf did some good after all. I put my hands on my face and sighed. If it wasn't for the last few weeks, I think I was going mad. I don't know what to think, whether to believe him or not, or whether I'm just dreaming. If you were dreaming, he told me, you'd woken up ages ago. I understand what you're going through. Ever since we started travelling with the Doctor, time seems less and less like a line and more like a Rubik's Cube. You twist one section, and another section on the other side of the cube twists back. Whether to believe him, I don't know. It's like, you know there's no reason not to, but at the same time, you feel like there's something wrong. The rational part of your brain tells you it can't be true. I finished. Yeah, exactly. We're not equipped to really get it, though, when you think about it. The Doctor's a Time Lord, keyword being time. His people were specially bred to handle this kind of thing, whereas we're university students. I tried to think up something to say, but all I could manage was a simple, yeah. I turned around and saw the Doctor, walking down the hallway and raising his hand, proclaiming, ah, there you are. Next to him was a man who wasn't half as tall as he'd like and doubled the size. He wore tiny spectacles, a pinstripe grey suit, and had a ridiculously large moustache, jettisoning from both sides. I resisted the urge to say Eggman, the villain in the Sonic the Hedgehog games Chan's always playing. This is Bill Ash, introduced the Doctor. He's the head of the Anno Project, as well as being a good friend of mine. He helped me defeat the Renosian invasion of Earth a few years ago, didn't you, Bill? He looked down sheepishly and gave a little, well, quite. The Doctor continued. He's given us full access to the facilities and is allowing us to temporarily halt the project. Clearing his throat, the man started to speak again, this time trying to sound as professional as he could. Indeed. If it were anyone else, I would refuse outright, but the Doctor has a reputation of being correct even when the odds say otherwise. I noticed the Doctor trying to hide his grinning. Obviously, complete shutdown would be impossible at this point, but the Doctor believes there's an alternative. Yes, the Doctor explained. It is theoretically possible to take the gas and convert it to a different form, putting it under an ionized pressure field. Despite not knowing what an ionized pressure field was, sorry, Mr. Jackson from secondary school, I knew exactly what he was talking about. He planned on putting it in Reactor A. I mean, yeah, I know I wasn't hallucinating, but now I had confirmation that, like it or not, pretty soon I would be faced with the choice and forced to make it. The four of us got to work, and 20 minutes later we were almost ready. Chan was in the basement, hacking into the computer system and changing some kind of code. Bill Ash was pacing around the building, clearing this with every official he could and getting yelled at as a result. Listening to the Doctor's advice isn't always welcomed with open arms. Finally, the Doctor and I went back to the room with the fuse boxes. That's when the Doctor pointed a finger in the air and used the interjection, "Aha! Of course I have to..." Insert your own technobubble. I can't remember any of it. Sorry. "And then I'll just use the second fuse box to divert power into Reactor A. It'll suck the gas in and voila! Problem solved." This was it. The moment of truth. "Wait. Reactor A. Are you sure?" "If my maths are right." He raised an eyebrow. "Why?" "Because," I took a deep breath, "you came and visited me and told me that if you said to put it in Reactor A, put it in Reactor B instead."
"I did?"
"Oh no, not amnesia again." "No, I mean it was you from the future. Like, as soon as we're done with this and you put it in Reactor B, you time travel back and tell me exactly what I just told you." "Oh, paradox. Haven't had a paradox in ages. I remember that time I travelled to the Great Poster Empire 5 times in a row, and tried each time..." "Doctor," I interrupted, "the gas?" "Oh, yes, the gas," he exclaimed absent-mindedly, before running to the 4th fuse box instead of the 2nd. After flipping some switches and using his sonic screwdriver, the Doctor's equivalent to a magic wand, to give it that little extra push, the Doctor ran to the door, motioning his head and said, "Come on." And from there, we took off running, going into another room a few hallways down. In that room, there was a large glass pane that divided it between a half we could all stand in and a half that kept various experiments, chemical or otherwise. We heard a hiss and saw the vents on the ceiling starting to open their metal slides and release the gas into the side of the room kept behind the glass. The Doctor clapped his hands together and yelled, "It worked!" before hugging me. "Now, that's that taken care of. I'll go back and start the circular paradox. Better safe than sorry when it comes to that. You find Chan and Bill and take care of all that business. Be back as soon as I can." The both of us smiling, I watched him leave the room and run down the hallway. After a few seconds, I heard the sound of the TARDIS our time machine makes. It's kind of like... I don't know. Have you ever seen a big cat on television, like a tiger, and tried to imitate it? A human pretending to be an animal, sorted by the most alien ring modulator you've ever heard. Yeah, it's kind of like that. So, I walked back to the hallway, and after a minute or two, I saw a big bushy figure locking the door to the room he came out of. Taking a few seconds to recognise him, I shout, Mr. Ash! He looked up, wondering where he heard his name before he saw me, and sighing a little breath of relief and waving. Oh, hi, he said, taking a pause before continuing. Have you seen the doctor? Sorry, you just missed him. He'll be back soon, though. I figured I'd have to explain to him where the doctor is, without actually explaining it, and was doing my best to think up a story, but he didn't seem to care. He never once asked me what the doctor was doing. Instead, he asked, So, how's the gas situation? Giving a tiny smirk, I tell him, Taken care of. We put it in reactor B. Good, good. He rubbed his hands together and ran off into the fuse box room. Just like the doctor, Bill Ash started messing with one of the boxes, this time number 2. I was a bit confused as to why he was still messing around with the power if the problem had been taken care of. In retrospect, I guess there could have been 1,000 reasons, but at the time I couldn't think of any, and so I asked him. What are you doing? I asked, as bluntly as I could, but also with some genuine curiosity, not arrogance. And as nonchalantly as he could, he looked up and said, Oh, I'm trying to divert just enough power to my spaceship without having to get the gas out of Reactor B. He gave me the slightest but warmest of smiles. I kind of had trouble breathing. What? Mr. Ash? Not near as nonchalantly this time, he told me. Bill Ash is dead. His voice as cold as the San Felio Desert on Axis 17, which the doctor took Chand and me to a few days before this, in case you're wondering. The man who looked like Bill Ash continued. I killed him a few years ago. I impersonated him and started up the Anno Project. The gas can get me home, you see. The gas is what will fuel my spaceship and allow me to go back to my home planet. Only a matter of minutes now. And if it kills a large percentage of your population, well, I feel bad, but I'm not going to miss my ride home. I mean, I have a wife and daughter to get back to. I didn't know what to say at first. Bill Ash was an alien this whole time. I pointed out the first inconsistency I thought of. But we stopped the gas, put it in Reactor B, he finished for me, even though the doctor thought it was Reactor A. The doctor arriving put a large kink in my plans. At that point, I knew he was telling the truth, because this was, what, the third time I'd heard that? But I took advantage of this situation. By capitalizing on the doctor's non-linear lifestyle, I was able to shapeshift as the doctor and pretend I was his future self, so instead of finding a way to stop the doctor, I merely had him help. Who are you? I asked. I am Halix of the Renosians. 3 years ago, Bill Ash and the Doctor committed genocide against my people. Remembering what the Doctor said earlier, I pointed out, Weren't you trying to invade the Earth? Scoffing, Halix shot back, Only for its minerals. It's not like we were trying to kill people. But after the gas goes off and I can leave, the Doctor will be taken back to my planet and put on trial for his crimes. Now, I've seen too many spy movies and read too many superhero comics not to know that the villain telling his super top secret motives always ends with him getting defeated. And so I felt compelled to ask him, Why are you telling me all of this? Couldn't I, stop your plan? Well, he thought, raising one eyebrow, I've already completed my plan, and how would you stop it anyway? The only people here who know how to put the gas back in Reactor A are the Doctor and I, and the Doctor is indisposed of right now. So you're going to stop me how? But if you insist on being difficult... Instead of finishing his statement with words, he ran towards me, unexpectedly tackling me to the ground. Curse my metafictional awareness. The impact was harsh, harder than anything I've had to deal with lately, with the exception of fatigue. I tried to lift my head, but instead felt a wave of intense dizziness and dropped it back, allowing an already massive headache to grow larger. I couldn't move my arms or my legs as I noticed Halix was on top of me growling like an animal, his hands moving to choke me. Strangulation? That's just great. It's then that I was fortunate enough to simultaneously hear the sound of metal on flesh and see Halix open his mouth slightly and fall off me, hitting the ground just as hard as I had. I looked up and what do I see but Chan standing over us, lead pipe in hand. My, what a tangled web you leave, he told me, smirking. Saved you yet again. I rolled my eyes and took a hold of his outreached hand to lift myself up. Where did you get a lead pipe? I asked him. Trust me, you really don't want to know. I took his word on it. Fortunately for us, Alex wasn't done. That blow to the head did less damage than we thought, and much in the same way that he did to me, he tackled Chan and started attacking him on the ground. So here I was, in a life or chance death situation. I didn't have a lot of time, so as quickly as I could I considered my options. Trying to pull Alex off Chan wouldn't work. I'm not strong enough. The lead pipe entered my mind, but it fell out of Chan's hand when he was knocked down and was on the other side of Alex. If I tried to get it, he'd attack me too. But I couldn't just sit back and watch. Then I remembered something the doctor said. "Hey!" I shouted at Alex, moving backwards towards the boxes, the one furthest to the right, to be specific, getting further and further away from Alex and Chan. "Come on! I'm the one you want! I'm the one who knows about all your ideas, and I'm the one who's going to do everything, everything in my power to make sure that spaceship doesn't leave." "Alice, don't," Chan tried to tell me through a forced upon windpipe, but it was in vain. Still pinning Chan, Alex reached for the pipe, tightly gripping it, and within a second, leapt up, running towards me, fury painted all over his face. I smiled and thought, perfect. Seems a pretty weird thought, huh? Just listen. He was coming toward me close, so close. I only had a second, a millisecond to spare, when I bent down, ducked, and slid to the side. Alex swung his arms and the lead pipe missed me and collided with the last fuse box. He screamed in pain as electric volts ran through his body. After a few seconds, the now drooling Alex fell to the ground, eyes open in shock, not blinking. However, he was still breathing, albeit very slowly. I helped Chan up, and we both stood over Alex, watching the barely moving creature try to stay alive. I felt bad for him in a way, but I'd feel worse if anything would have happened to Chan. I looked at him and smiled, asking, "You all right?" "Yeah, never better." He took a few minutes to gain his composure, and then asked, "Why did Bill Ash attack us?" I told him, "It's not Bill Ash. It's a Renosian, a shapeshifter. He's been Bill Ash this whole time, and was also the future doctor who came to rescue me." "Yeah, guess that wasn't a very good idea after all," I continued telling him. "He's been trying to fuel his spaceship. He tricked us into putting the..." Realization dawned on me, hurting like a brick in the face. "Oh God, the gas! We have to stop the gas!" "What?" Chanda exclaimed. "I thought the doctor already did that." "We thought he did, but he was tricked by that guy, Alex." "Well, why don't we have the doctor fix it?" "I don't know where the doctor is. Alex has him unconscious somewhere." Gasping, Chand asked, "So what do we do?" "I don't know," I screamed, shaking my head back and forth. It was filled with a potent cocktail of fear, guilt, disappointment, and a number of emotions. All that was for nothing. The defeat of the Renosian was useless. The gas goes off as planned. He lost, but so did we. How far of an effect will it have? The doctor said it'll endanger the atmosphere for years to come, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. My mind overloaded with thousands of different thoughts. Regrets of places I never went, things I never did. The good times before the doctor came into my life, and the equally good times after. All these and more ran through my head, but one stood out above the rest, and, not even on purpose, got shouted out loud. "We're all going to die!" It was then that I heard a voice coming from the doorway ask, "Are you sure about that?" I'd know that voice anywhere. The doctor. "Doctor!" I said, hardly being able to put my thoughts into words. "But how?" "Simple," he told us. "I'm the doctor from your future." "Oh no, not again." And I told him that. "Really? You would distrust the man who saved both of you from the Shahs?" "Okay, so he had a bit of my trust." He explained. "I travelled back in time and landed as soon as your doctor was attacked by Alex." "Of course. I heard the TARDIS. I thought it was the doctor leaving, but it was the doctor arriving." Continuing, the doctor said, "I evacuated the employees and went down to the maintenance chamber, and since I'm not affected by the gas, I manually switched the gas from reactor B to reactor A." I couldn't think of anything to say. For a moment, neither could Chand, before he said, "But what?" "What am I going to do now?" the doctor finished. "Well, the two of you are waiting for me in the TARDIS, so I'll go back with him and take him back to his planet. I have the evidence of the killing of Bill Ash here. Murder is still a crime there. The courts will take care of the situation, and he'll still be able to see his family. Back home. It's what he wanted all along. But, I started to say, how do you know all this? Simple. It's all wibbly-wobbly timey. He saw the looks on our faces. Oh, never mind. The two of you tell me as soon as you wake me up. I'm tied up in the janitor's closet, one hallway down. It's the second? No, third. Third door on the left. Can't miss it. He took the unconscious body of Halleck and winked at us. See you earlier. This story ends where it began. That whole thing was 2 weeks ago, I think. It's so hard to tell in the TARDIS. Does wonders, and not the good kind, for your internal alarm clocks. Since then, we visited the furthest reaches of the Vel Botany galaxy, swam across the rivers of Earth colonies where the waters are a bright orange, ran from the terrifying, and I mean terrifying, Azurians, and watched the Doctor get into a sword fight with Manfred von Geil from the late 1800s. And so, for the past few minutes, I've been lying in my bed in the back rooms of the TARDIS, thinking about that day, absolutely exhausted. I'm ready to get some rest. That's all about to change, however, because not 30 seconds ago, the Doctor popped his head up in my door and asked me a question. Hey, he started, oh so innocently. How about we go back and pick up Halleck and take him back to his planet? Smiling so wide I'm surprised it didn't travel backwards and forwards in time. I take a pillow and put it over my head. Typical.